Now I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. May I say, while you're turning there to find your place, again, it is a joy to have you in the services today, and I trust that you'll be in prayer, that God's blessings would rest upon us. I trust that you'll be faithful to the services that remain in this day and for the services of this week. Bearing in mind that the time is short that we have to serve the Lord, let us serve Him while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. But first, I want you to bow with me for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee again for the written word that speaks to our hearts. We thank Thee that when Thou didst write to us. Help us to understand the truth of Thy word. May we hide it away in our hearts, that we would not sin against Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray again, should there be those who have never been saved, that they would come to trust Christ today. And we ask for those who perhaps are walking a guilty distance from Thee, that they might close the gap and be in the place of service that Thou wouldst have them to be. For those seeking a place of service and a church home where they can worship Thee, may they find it here at Worth Baptist even today. This is our prayer and these are our petitions as we offer them in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, and for His sake. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Corinth from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The correct rendering of the word is creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or for Christ's sake. We beg you, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I am told that the longest suspension bridge in the world is the Golden Gate Bridge in California that spans something like 4,200 feet. That's quite a gap to span. And speaking of gaps, much is being said in our day about gaps. We almost have the gapitis. I just coined that word. I really don't know what it means, except that we are talking a great deal about what kind of gaps we have in the world. We hear a lot said about the generation gap, about the social gap, the credibility gap. All kinds of gaps are being mentioned in my message today. I want to point out some gaps, some of which still need spanning in your life and mine. Let's just put it this way. We ought to be in the bridge building business. That's my message for you on this June 8, 1969. Bridging the gaps. I want to talk to you about three gaps particularly. First of all, there is the reconciliation gap. We just read from our text in 2 Corinthians concerning God reconciling the world to Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the reconciliation gap takes on many shapes and has many forms. This is perhaps in its deepest and widest dimensions the biggest gap known to man. The gap between God and man. This gap began in the Garden of Eden. Now I'm convinced of this, that when God created man in His own image, and this we believe, when God made man and placed him in the garden, in view of the things that are said in the book of Genesis, we can and we do indeed believe that God created man for the express purpose of having fellowship with him. We read that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Now we have the account of man sinning against God. When Adam disobeyed God, Adam made a chasm or a gap between God and man. Before Adam sinned, that chasm was not there. I believe that God daily came and walked with Adam and had fellowship with him. And believe it or not, Adam could stay awake long enough for God to walk with him too. But there came the moment when Adam disobeyed God, and the wide chasm separated man from God. And beloved, today, that chasm has widened by many because they have continued to disobey God. What shall I say about Adam's own son, Cain? That is, don't expect your sons to be more than you are. I've said it before, if children live in a critical atmosphere, they will criticize. If children come up in an atmosphere of bitterness and hatred, they will be bitter and they will hate. If children come up in an attitude to be cross and irritable, they will be cross and irritable. Cain was brought up in an atmosphere where his daddy had disobeyed God. And in a fit of anger and in a rage of jealousy, Cain rose up and slew his brother. And the Bible says that Cain went from the presence of the Lord. Sin has always driven men away from God. In the first experience that man had with God, sin drove him away. In 1969, sin continues to drive men away from God. How wide is the chasm? How wide is the gap? I'm ready to report to you this morning that the chasm that sin has digged between God and man is no wider than the everlasting mercies of our God. For there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. Oh, I'm telling you today that God's mercy spans every gap. And I'm glad to report to you that over 1900 years ago, the choir sang about it a moment ago, outside the city walls of the ancient Jerusalem, the Son of God bearing my sins and yours, bearing my shame and yours, bearing my lust and yours, bearing my scars and yours, bearing my past, my present, and my future, just like He bore yours. Outside the ancient walls of Jerusalem on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ spanned the gulf between God and man. And by His cross, Paul says, He has reconciled us to God.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You can never get out of the reaches of God's love. You can never run fast enough. You can never fly far enough to get outside the circumference of God's eternal love for you. For Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cross in open shame, went as high as a man could go. He went as low as a man could go. He went as far as a man could go to reconcile your poor, needy, hell-bound soul and mine to the God of the universe. Brother, that is one gulf and that is one gap that has already been spanned. Thank God 10,000 times it has. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He reconciled the world to himself through his Son. But then there's something else in the reconciliation gap that we need to reckon with today. And that is the gap between fellow Christians. Oh, the ugliest sight in anybody's church is Christians at odds with one another. Life is too short. And the coming of Christ is too imminent for us to nurse old wounds and harbor grudges in our hearts. There's no room for disharmony and disunity among believers. And it can have severe consequences. I'm reminded of the story that Dr. F.B. Meyer, a great evangelist and preacher of yesteryear, told. He was conducting a revival meeting over in the Southland. And back in those days, you know, people could go to church 2 weeks. Now we can't go hardly one Sunday, but they used to have 2 week revival meetings. Sometimes they had more than that. I can remember when my daddy had a 6 weeks revival meeting and preached every night, and 500 adults were saved in a 6 weeks revival meeting. I can't even get some of you to come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I'm talking about a protracted meeting. Dr. Meyer had one for 2 weeks. The first week went by and not an amen, a holy grunt. Nobody came forward. Nobody went backward. Nothing happened. It was absolutely a blank for a whole week. The pastor became very much disturbed, like any pastor would. Maybe sometimes you wonder why your pastor becomes disturbed. When I see people so careless and indifferent about the cause of Christ, it does something to me. Really, it does. And this pastor was quite disturbed about it. So he said to the evangelist in the beginning of the second week, I'm going to say a word to the church about this dry spell that we're in. I don't understand it. And so at the beginning of the second week, the pastor stood up and expressed his concern for the lack of anything happening. And the pastor said, I believe there's something wrong. And I believe somebody ought to do something about it because the Spirit of God is being quenched out of this meeting. One man stood up and said, Pastor, Brother Jones and I haven't spoken to each other for 5 years. We've sat on the same pew. We've been in the same church. But we haven't had any speaking for 5 years. And if Brother Jones is ready to bury the axe, I'm ready to. And Brother Jones stood up, and Dr. Meyer says these two big old men embraced, and the tears wet each other's back. And one by one, people stood up and said the same thing. One man finally stood up and said, Preacher, I've been listening to some criticism about you. And I've been believing it, and I've been saying nice things to you in front of your face, but I've been saying some bad things about you to your back. And I want you to forgive me. And that pastor went out of that pulpit and down that aisle. And those two men embraced. And all the church were in tears by this time. And Dr. Meyer says 3 years later, people were still getting saved from that revival meeting. Because the reconciliation gap was spanned by honest love and sincere devotion one for another. I believe that God wants us to span the reconciliation gap with each other. And I believe God wants us to be mediators and reconcilers for other people. If there are two people who are at odds one with another, surely there's someone who can make peace between them. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And you know, it might cost you something to do this, to make peace between two. I shall never forget the very best friend that I ever had in school coming up, who pastors a large church in the state of Florida now. We grew up together, we ate together, we slept together, we got into meanness together. I know none of you never did that, but I did. But we were fast friends. Where you saw one, you saw the other. But one day something came between us. Then we had a third mutual friend, and he was a splendid guy. He's way up high in the ranks in the Air Force today. But we were about in our senior year, and we'd gone all through this time. We had never been at odds with each other, and two or three days had passed. And one day at lunch, the third friend came. We were all standing around, you know how you'll do, and kind of turn you back to somebody you don't want to, you know. You know how that goes. And so we were kind of standing there, and he said, now I've had this long enough. You two fellas are going to get together. And so he just stood right in between us and started poking. And we started at each other, and sure enough, we both jumped on him, knocked him down, and broke his wrist. I tell you, it costs something to be a mediator, but you know, from that day to this, all three of us have been fast friends, and we've never had a crossword since. I'm saying that God wants us to reconcile others to each other. And God, according to the Apostle Paul, wants us to reconcile men to Him. We beg you, Paul said, in Christ's stead. What Paul was saying, Christ is not here in the flesh. He can't beg you, but we are begging you for His sake and in His place and in His stead, be ye reconciled to God. That is a gap that needs to be bridged today. The gap called the reconciliation gap. There's another gap that I think we should work on and build a bridge across. And that is the communication gap. You know, a great deal that's wrong in the world today is because of the lack of communication. For example, the communication gap between nations keeps nations apart. The communication gap between members of the same family, and this is so tragic, but it's so true, keeps members of the same family apart because there's a lack of communication. The communication gap between members of the same church. They just don't have the communication. Not necessarily mad or upset or bitter or unforgiving, but just don't have the communication. That gap ought to be spanned today. Members of the same church ought to have something in common. If it's nothing more than I'll see you in the services tonight. Or come out and go with us visiting Tuesday night. Break down the wall that separates and span the gap of communication between church members. And then there's another gap that's been altogether too long and too wide. And that's the gap between Christians and non-Christians. Well, for example, let me ask you this morning, how long has it been since you, as a Christian, talked to a non-Christian about spiritual things? Now, you've talked about the Yankees and the Dodgers and Joe Namath and vacation and work and raising wages and all of this, strikes and all the war situation, but when did you talk to a non-Christian about spiritual things? Do you have any communication with the unsaved world? Do you have a rapport with them that you can sit down and talk with a man about Christ and about eternity? If you can't, there's something wrong in your life. You need to have that gap between you and the unsaved man bridged. Last Monday morning, it was my privilege to speak to a pastor's conference of about 30 pastors in Jacksonville before we left to come home. And we met in a downtown rescue mission that is sponsored by a local church in Jacksonville. And the director of that mission was giving us as pastors and preachers some idea of what the mission had done and was doing. And I tell you, he told a story that thrilled my soul. And he showed us pictures on a slide projector of several different ones who had come that way. And he flashed on the screen a young girl, an attractive young girl, but marred by sin. It seems that she had come to Jacksonville from somewhere in California as a hippie, as one who had tasted LSD and who had been on the trips with that awful drug. Young people, listen to me this morning. It's not worth it. Believe me, it is not worth it. The so-called kick that comes out of it will kick you down. Let it alone. It's more dangerous than 10,000 rattlesnakes. But she came into that mission one day, 18 years old, no friends, no family, nobody. But that fine director and his wife, who had two teenage daughters, had some communication with her. And they took that girl into their home. And with spiritual therapy, she came out of it. And then he showed us another picture. And he said, now, preachers, she's enrolled in a Bible college and has surrendered to be a missionary on a foreign field. Why? Because one family had communication with a girl who had gone the downward road. And then a missionary got up and spoke. He was a missionary to the servicemen. It reminded me of our work among the servicemen down in Killeen, the part that we're having in it. And he was working out at Norfolk, Virginia. And you know that is a great seaport. And he said, I'm happy to report to you that I led a sailor to the Lord last year. And said he was just getting ready to leave and he was going back on his ship. And he said, I saw him the other day. And he had the names and addresses of 175 men that he had won to the Lord on his ship. All because one missionary had communication with one sailor away from home. I'm talking to you about Christians having communication with non-Christians. I know that my wife will remember this well. A few years ago when we were in Danville working with my dad in the church there, during a revival meeting, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but it would bless your heart if I did have time to tell it all to you. But there was a woman whose name was given to us, and we went out a little while before church time to visit her. And she said, no, preacher, you don't want to talk to me. I've been married 5 times. You don't want to talk to me. She said, after all, I just went to a tent meeting last night and they told me anybody had been married more than once would go to hell. I said, well, I'd like to have this chapter and verse. She said, well, preacher, I can't read. I couldn't tell you where it came from. I said, well, I want to read a story to you. And I just turned the Bible over there in John chapter 4 and I said, I want you to read this. She said, preacher, I said, I can't read. And I read it to her. And I read to her about Jesus talking with a woman who had 5 husbands and the man that she lived with was not her own. And she said, preacher, do you really believe that's true? I said, I know it's true. She said, would you read it again? And I read it again. And just before we got down to pray, she said, would you read it again? And I read it again. And there on her knees, she couldn't read one word. But she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And during that meeting, 12 or 15 people got saved simply because we had communication with one sinful woman. I'm talking to you about the gap between you and that unsaved man that you work with out there every day. We need to span that gap that's between us. And then in the communication gap, there's a gap between a lot of Christians and God. Now, when's the last time you had a good long talk with God? Or you say, preacher, I've been so busy. We've been getting ready to go on vacation. And we've had this and that and the other. I just haven't had time. You mean to tell me you really haven't had time to talk with God? Abraham got something done because he was alone with God. Moses led a great nation out of the wilderness because he got alone with God. Joshua became the great successor to Moses, and God spoke to him when he was alone on his knees. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness alone. The only reason that you and I are saved today, Jesus Christ went alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." The only reason that we're saved, he went alone upon the cross. And there he bore our sins in his own body, alone. Jesus spanned the gap for us in prayer. How long do you suppose you spend a day in prayer? Some of you spend 5 seconds in saying a blessing over a meal that took 2 hours to cook and 45 minutes to eat. And some of us have gotten almost like the man who said, "Lord, there's my prayer on the wall, right there." And he jumps in bed every night. Just sort of a "now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep" sort of a thing. No real prayer. That's why there's no real power. That's why there's no production. That's why there's not much performance anymore. One of our Sunday school teachers went out and visited a family not long ago, and they said, "Well, it just isn't like it used to be down there." And finally they admitted they hadn't been here in 2 years. How they know how it is down there? It isn't like it used to be in your home, is it? It isn't like it used to be on your job. Nothing is like it used to be. The only difference I can see is that things are getting better all the time. And if this army keeps marching, we'll one day outshine the sun. I'm talking to you about communication gap between you and God. When people find that things aren't what they used to be, they better start looking down in here and they'll find a list that's wrong, with everything that's wrong in the church and in the world, right down here. There's another gap before we leave this morning I want to talk to you about. The third gap is the dedication gap. This is the widest gap in Christian circles today. The dedication gap. You know the story of Peter, don't you? One day, the first time Jesus saw him, he said, "Your name is Simon, but I'm going to start calling you Peter." Because Peter means a stone. You are vacillating. You are wishy-washy. You are here today. You've got divided loyalties. Beloved, I don't believe a Christian can have divided loyalties. I don't believe a Christian can have but one church home and one pastor and one place to serve. And I believe we ought to serve there too. I don't believe a person can be true to two churches any more than a man can be true to two families. Peter, you are vacillating. You're wishy-washy. You're divided. I want you to be called Peter from now on. No longer Simon. I want to make something out of you. But you know, Peter had a dedication gap in his life. You remember his testimony. Jesus came down to the end of the way. Jesus said, "Before long, I'm going to be delivered up into the hands of sinful men, and I'm going to be crucified. And they're going to take me away to death." And Peter said, "Lord, I'm going to go with you. If it means going to jail, I'll go to jail. If it means going to death, I'll go to death." It wasn't long before Peter was cursing and swearing that he never knew Jesus. What happened to Peter? Same thing that's wrong with a lot of us. He had a dedication gap in his life. He was saved, all right. He was a member of the church, so to speak. But he had a dedication gap. You see, Peter was tall on promise, but short on performance, just like a lot of us in the 20th century. Oh, we can stand and say what we are going to do, but when it comes down to the acid test, most of us aren't doing much. Peter's dedication gap. But you know, beloved, somewhere between that moment of cowardice in the Garden of Eden and the manifestation of courage on the day of Pentecost, Peter had that gap spanned. You know how he had it spanned? He had it bridged by a little conference with God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says when Jesus turned and looked at Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. And after that, there was never a dedication gap in Peter's life. He had it spanned by that conference with God. Too many of us are like Peter. He said one thing, but he did another. Peter said he would do this, and he turned right around and did another. In a lot of our lives, there's a gap between what we say and what we do. I call it the dedication gap, and I believe we ought to have that gap bridged today. I could call every member, one by one, of this church to this platform and say, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Yes. Do you believe that the church was founded by Christ? Yes. Do you believe it's the Christian's duty to win souls? Yes. Do you believe it's the Christian's duty to tithe? Yes. Do you believe it's the Christian's duty to pray? Yes. Do you believe a Christian should be faithful to the church? Yes. 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 All the way down the line, yes. But I wonder how many of us are conducting our lives according to what we say we believe. You say you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, but how much time do you spend reading it? You say you believe the church is the place that Jesus built, but how much time do you give to the church? You say you believe that a Christian ought to tithe and the Bible teaches it, but are you consistently doing it? You say that you believe that the coming of Christ is close at hand, but are you living like His coming is close at hand? There's a dedication gap somewhere between what we say and what we do. It reminds me of the teacher that asked the little boy, son, is your daddy a Christian? Well, the little boy said, he says he is, but he's not doing much about it right now. A whole lot of members of Worth Baptist Church say they're Christians, but they are doing very little about it right now. Let's bridge the dedication gap that is so wide between what we say we believe and what we do. For after all, actions speak louder than words. It's not what we say, it's what we do. It's not how much we promise, it's how much we perform. After all, our creed should regulate our conduct. To believe is one thing, to do is another. What we are should govern what we do. We are Christians, we ought to live like Christians. We ought to serve God like Christians. I said a while ago that Peter bridged that gap, that dedication gap, in prayer and in confession of his sins. You know, you and I can do the same thing this morning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He that confesseth his sin shall have mercy. The wise Solomon said. But on the other hand, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You and I can bridge the dedication gap with just a little conference with God. If there is a gap between you and God today, I beg you, bridge that gap. If there's a gap between you and the church, bridge it. If there's a gap between you and your pastor, bridge it. If there's a gap between you and your fellow Christian, bridge it. If there's a gap between you and your family, bridge it. I've got news for you today. You can bridge that gap by having a little conference with Jesus. We used to sing a long time ago, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our trials. He will hear our faintest cry and he will answer by and by. So when you feel the little prayer wheel turning and you feel a little fire burning, have a little talk with Jesus and it'll make it right. It'll do it too. You try it and see. Right here at this altar that stretches from here to eternity, the gap in your life, hear me when I say it, the gap in your life is not too wide for the grace of God to span. Let us stand. Our Father, this morning, our hearts indeed rejoice because you've given us your word. We feel so inadequate, so unworthy, so undeserving. Dear God, I pray that wherever there are gaps this morning, perhaps there's some people here today, and there is a gap between them and between thee. That reconciliation gap has never been spanned. They're lost. They're unsaved. Help them to step out today and make a simple affirmation of their faith in Jesus Christ. Surely, Heavenly Father, they're Christians. And in their lives, there is a gap, a communication gap between them and somebody else, between them and the church, between them and thee. May that communication gap be bridged today. Dear God, surely there must be Christians in whose lives there is a dedication gap. And what they are saying is altogether different from what they're doing. Help us to do what we say and say what we do. And help us, Heavenly Father, to fill that gap that exists in our hearts and lives today. Help us to do it by a little conference with thee around this altar. May men and women and boys and girls slip out even now while we wait in prayer to this altar, to get the gaps filled in their lives. Help us to be bridge builders, bridging the gaps, whatever they are, in our lives today, is our prayer in Jesus' name.